Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tarot for a Troubled Time, the podcast in which we reflect on the experience of living through the COVID-19 pandemic using the cards of the tarot. I'm your host, River Rose. Well, this week I celebrated 20 years in New York, and I marked the day at my local COVID testing center. It was a preventative test and I'm totally fine, but the act of going and getting a test and being with people who are also getting tested, as well as with frontline workers who are potentially exposed to COVID-19 every day, made me really want to lean into the positive feelings of gratitude towards the universe and empathy and compassion towards other people. And so this is the energy I wanted to bring to all of you, wherever you may be in space and time as you listen to this. So, how is it possible to bring good vibes into a podcast about the effects of a pandemic? Well, for one thing, we can do it by looking at some positive things that are going on in the world. If you'll indulge me for a moment, I'm going to speak a little bit about COVID-19 in New York City, since I did just celebrate my 20th anniversary of arriving here. As you may recall, New York was considered one of the global hotspots for COVID-19. The combination of heavy international travel to and from the city, the large and dense population, and probably the lack of quick response to the pandemic as it was spreading in Europe in February, created a perfect storm here in the five boroughs. As a result, as of August 15th, we have had 226,367 cases of COVID. 56,723 hospitalizations, 18,989 confirmed deaths, and an additional 4,632 probable deaths. During the peak of the epidemic in April, we were having somewhere in the neighborhood of 580 deaths per day in the city or more. This isn't good news, you might be thinking to yourself. Well, my point is that we went from a dire situation in which our hospital systems couldn't deal with the influx of cases and with the number of daily deaths, where people who suspected they had COVID could not get a diagnostic test even if they needed one, and from having one of the strictest lockdowns in the country into what I think must be the safest big city in the US, with one of the lower infection rates in the entire country. We can't wipe out the pain and destruction that COVID has wrought here, but it is remarkable how we've turned our situation around. How do we do this? I can list the factors that contributed to the turnaround: a disciplined population committed by and large to wearing masks, a relatively competent governmental response after a period of time. But no, the underlying reason why I think we managed can come down to one word: collaboration. No, not everything was rosy, and many people are still not okay. Many things are not okay and won't be for a long time. We have reasons to be apprehensive. We have reasons to be sad and angry. We have reasons to be cynical. We have reasons not to trust our leaders, and we have reasons to be concerned about what's going to happen next. But it really was the combination of all our efforts that led to this turnaround. And if a group of people as rambunctious and diverse as 8 million New Yorkers can turn this situation around, let me tell you, I believe that humanity is capable of doing great things, as much evidence as there is right now to the contrary. But let's move on. What else can we talk about that's positive? Well, since August is National Immunization Awareness Month, and see above, since we are still in a pandemic, perhaps we can reflect a little on what's going on with vaccines. According to The Guardian, right now the WHO is tracking 170 COVID-19 vaccines. There are 139 vaccines not yet in human trials, 25 vaccines in phase one, which are very small scale safety trials in humans, 17 vaccines that are in phase two trials, which are given to hundreds of people at a time, and 7 vaccines in large scale efficacy trials, which is phase three, in which the vaccine is given to thousands of people and tested for even rare side effects and for effectiveness. This again is a sign of great collaboration, and I hope that this can continue as we get closer to actually being able to roll out a vaccine to large numbers of our population, both in terms of compliance and in terms of cost. The Mayo Clinic also released research this month that its high-dose plasma therapy has shown itself to be effective at lowering the mortality rate among COVID-19 patients. And some antiviral drugs such as remdesivir and a corticosteroid called dexamethasone have been shown to reduce the mortality rates of COVID-19 patients. All of this reminds us that although COVID is not going away anytime soon, we are finding ways for it to be less destructive than it has been to date. And if you want to look up something about COVID that will make you laugh, here's a tip. Google Dr. Quentin Lee COVID video. Dr. Lee is a witty and adorable high school principal in Childersburg, Alabama, who has made a parody video of MC Hammer's Can't Touch This that I can almost guarantee will make you laugh. Dr. Lee's sense of humor is stellar, and his hip-hop skills and wardrobe are out of this world. Okay, then. And I'm pretty sure that if you take a few minutes to look him up, you won't be disappointed. Sick of hearing about COVID? Fine. Let me mention some other news. This week, Dolly Parton came out in support of Black Lives Matter. That's right, whiter than white country music legend Dolly Parton expressed her support of the protests that have happened since the death of George Floyd by saying, quote, "I understand people having to make themselves known and felt and seen. And of course, Black Lives Matter. Do you think our little white asses are the only ones that matter? No." Despite being very careful not to make political statements as a rule, Ms. Parton has made moves in the past to stomp out intolerance, including changing of the names of one of the attractions inside Dollywood, the theme park named after her, from the Dixie Stampede to simply the Stampede, thereby dropping the Confederate name. Ms. Parton has also shown support for other groups not typically known to be in the usual country music demographic, repeatedly showing support for the LGBTQ community, for example. This is perhaps why Dolly Parton's Q score, which is a marketing measure that tracks public appeal and branding affinity, has ranked her as the most popular public figure in the world. Yes, I said in the world. I learned this about Ms. Parton from a podcast that I suggest you check out, Dolly Parton's America. Whether you're a fan of Ms. Parton's or not, I believe that you like podcasts based on the fact that you're listening to this. And I think this podcast reveals many remarkable facts about her as an artist and as a business person and as a human being that will entertain, enlighten, and even maybe inspire you. Which brings me to my final point before we move to our reading. One thing that has helped me recently to retain some sense of equanimity is just to expose myself to something that inspires me on a regular basis. If you're like me, you may be very busy with life in the time of COVID, and you may not have the concentration span or the ability to do something that might give your mind some rest. But you can go down a rabbit hole of something that you find beautiful and inspiring that doesn't take up too much brain power. One thing I've been doing for the past couple of weeks is listening to the soundtrack of Hamilton, the musical. Now, I'm a bit of a theater nerd, and although I haven't historically been a huge lover of musical theater, I have to say the genius of Hamilton, the show, and of its author and star, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and of the entire original cast who recorded the music for the soundtrack, have me absolutely mesmerized. I studied literature and drama in school for many, many years. And I studied artists like Dante and Shakespeare and Pirandello for entire courses. And I have to say that Hamilton is as beautiful, as thoughtful, as poignant, as funny, as heartbreaking as any piece of dramatic art that I can think of, truly. I listen to the soundtrack pretty much every day these days, and the historical drama and the human drama of it all is truly cathartic for me. The story of an immigrant who survived against all odds, who lived, quote, in the greatest city in the world, New York City, whose most powerful skill, his words, also ended up getting him into trouble and getting him killed, who had a hunger for life and who always did the thing he loved, to write, quote, like he was running out of time, who thrived in New York and who wanted to be part of a revolution and to fight for independence and who wanted a big legacy, who had joy and energy and who loved deeply, but who was also not entirely loyal. It all really resonates with me right now. I really feel the need to engage with something beautiful and resonant, and Hamilton really fits the bill for me. Maybe you can find something that does the same thing for you. Okay, now let's move on to our reading. As I've said, I've been looking for positive things to think about and be influenced by lately, because A, they are out there, and B, we're really in a battle right now as a society, and we need to restore our batteries. In the spirit of looking for positivity, I was rather aggressive when I picked up our tarot deck this week, and rather than asking a question, I made a demand. Tell me something good. Oh, by the way, Tell Me Something Good is the title of a 1974 song by Chaka Khan and Rufus. And if you like the 70s, I suggest you look up the video for this song. I bet that alone will cheer you up. I'm not going to say more. And I digress. Let me get back to the reading. I once again decided to use a 3-card spread this week to get our answer, a sort of subject, verb, object spread. Subject, verb, object is in a sentence, a statement that the tarot would make back to us as the answer to our question or to our demand. Tell me something good. I shuffled the cards and I turned over the three that I wanted one by one, and I got... Sorry about the noise. Motorcyclist in a hurry. 3 of Pentacles reversed. The Devil, the King of Wands reversed. Let me say that again. I was distracted by the motorcycle. 3 of Pentacles reversed. The Devil, the King of Wands reversed. Now, I looked at these cards. I thought about the fact that I had to report back to you the response to Tell Me Something Good. And I thought, oh, shit. Because truthfully, it took me a while to see something really positive in these cards. The thing is, like the close friend who doesn't always tell you things you want to hear, the tarot just speaks its mind. In a way, it felt to me like the tarot was saying, right now, it's hard to find good news. You gotta dig deep within yourself. And if you want something good to happen in this moment, it definitely can, but you really have to work for it. And doesn't that statement ring true for you with everything that's happening right now? It definitely does for me. Because what I saw in these cards was a community divided and an underground resistance to tyranny and a destructive energy that's out of control. I saw a struggle of people trying to organize or break an addiction to a power that's really not working. There's a ton of energy in these cards, but it's chaotic energy, it's destructive energy, and the collaboration and the good that is so clearly out there is struggling to come together. So let's look at the cards one by one. The first card is the subject card, the protagonist of the statement, and it is the 3 of Pentacles reversed. In the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, the 3 of Pentacles shows a team of 3 people working inside what appears to be a cathedral. The 3 appear to be discussing the project of actually finishing the cathedral, and one of the individuals, perhaps a stonemason, appears to be younger and less experienced than the other 2, who may be more senior members of the team, maybe architects, and yet the 3 are clearly engaged in a productive conversation about their common project. And the older members of the team are listening intently to what the younger member is saying. The 3 are standing underneath an elaborate sort of Gothic arch inside the cathedral, and above their heads is a design of 3 pentacles in the shape of an equilateral triangle. And in the center of the triangle is a tiny rose design, which is echoed underneath with a larger rose. I won't get too much into the symbolism of this depiction, the pagan, the Christian symbology, and blah, 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 because this is not the deck we're using. But just remember that these things are reminding us that the pentacles represent earth, the material world, prosperity, the body, divinity too, maybe, and the three represents a whole that is greater than the sum of its parts. Now, in our deck, the Modern Spellcaster's Tarot, and in this spread, the Three of Pentacles is transposed to a very charming landscape. We seem to be in an apple orchard, and we have an elderly and sort of very fancy male figure who is sort of a cross between a botanist and a high priest, lecturing two young people who are sitting at his feet about the practice of growing apples, I believe. Some lovely trees full of red apples are growing in the background to the left and to the right of the three. And how's that for the cathedral, trees that give us life? And he is holding up an apple that is cut open. We can see the center of the apple, which has five seeds that are shaped or like put into the shape of a pentacle, I would say. We also see a bowl of what appears to be seeds on the right, and a little squirrel eating an actual apple to the left. In the foreground, we see the actual coins or pentacles lying in the grass. This is actually a pretty brilliant depiction of the card, which amounts to the same thing. Three individuals of varying experience and skill sets intently engaged together to ensure the success of a project that is much larger than any of them, the continued growth and care of the orchard. The Three of Pentacles, as you may know, or as you may have guessed by now, is about a group collaboration. It's about coming together to create something that will sustain the community and last for a long period of time. It's about assistance and contribution and teamwork and planning, putting one's skills to work for the benefit of a larger whole. You get the picture. However, remember, this card came out reversed in our reading, which usually signals either a discord in a team or a struggle in work or a mismatch of not being on the same page, that kind of thing. Perhaps it could mean solitary work outside of a team. In the context of subject, verb, object as a response to tell me something good, this card might be reminding us that we do have a community to work with, but that community is not harmonious or not coming together right now. While we could layer on top of this the meaning of division or polarization that is so acute here in the US right now, I prefer to think of this as something much more simple, which is that our community, and by our, I mean the community of people who cares about human rights, who trusts the scientific as well as the spiritual, who has collaborated to do everything from protesting injustice to mobilizing against voting interference to regularly wearing masks when they're around others. That community is separated right now physically by COVID. And it has also been decimated by COVID and systemic racism and many other destructive factors. But we are still here for each other. We are finding strength in our diversity, just like the three people in the card. We are building something big together. This is what I see in the Three of Pentacles reversed. Now let's move on to the devil, the verb in our statement. In the Rider-Waite-Smith depiction, the devil is not an attractive figure. As I mentioned, the devil's number 15. He looms large on the card. This particular devil is based on the figure of Baphomet, the deity who is half human, half animal, and sometimes half male, half female. He has giant bat wings, ram horns, and probably legs as well, and claw-like feet. And his right hand is raised, and his left hand is pointing down. Kind of like the magician, actually. He is perched on a little pedestal to which are chained two human figures with horns and tails, who looks suspiciously like the devilish version of the lovers on the card of the same name, which is card number 6 in the tarot, which is probably not a coincidence because 1 plus 5 of the 15 of the devil is 6. So there is a definite link in between these two cards. The devil has a reverse pentagram floating above his head, and he is holding a torch in his lowered hand. Now, if the Rider-Waite-Smith version of this card is unsettling, the modern Spellcaster's Tarot version is much more so. The overall configuration of the card is similar, a devil with two figures chained to it, but the devil is much scarier looking here. He has no flesh. He is a skeleton with some of the same features, bat wings, ram-like features, and horns, and where the other devil had legs, this devil has five very menacing snakes, probably cobras for legs. This devil is raising his left hand, symbolizing the sinister hand, or the devil. As in Christianity, you'll recall that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, whereas the devil is the left hand, the evil hand of God. By the way, left in Latin is sinistram, which is where the word sinister comes from. And he's holding a morning star, a weapon that you swing at people that has, you know, the sphere with the spikes at the end of it. And remember this for later. The two figures attached to the devil's pedestal in this card look barely human. They are not standing. They're barely able to sit up. The male figure is very bloated, eating a large chicken or turkey or who knows what type of animal leg. And the woman is drinking from a goblet. If you've ever studied Dante's Inferno, they actually look like two figures from the third circle of Dante's Inferno, the circle of the gluttons, who are lying around in a smelly slush that is probably regurgitated or digested food while they are pelted by a never-ending rain, sleet, snow, again, that is probably not made of a very pure substance. Now, the devil in the tarot typically symbolizes unhealthy attachment or clinging and often represents excess or addiction. There are some other meanings I would like us to consider in this reading, and to help me think about these, I actually drew heavily from one of my favorite tarot podcasts, Between the Worlds, whose host, Amanda Yates Garcia, is a truly brilliant witch with encyclopedic knowledge of the tarot and many brilliant insights to share. In the back catalog of Between the Worlds, we find the first season, which was devoted to the major arcana. The podcast had a different name back then. It was called Strange Magic, and it had a second host, but you can still find it in the Between the Worlds feed if you look it up. Look for the episode that is about the devil and listen to that, because it is truly brilliant and entertaining and insightful. There they talk about the devil in depth as being sheer amoral power, just raw power, not linked to any kind of human morality. Like the forces of nature that we see, like a hurricane or even like COVID. They may be destructive in a human context, but they continue to operate and do what they do outside of that context. And the devil can be seen that way too. We can also look at the devil as our shadow side, which is how the devil was born. Even before Christianity, he was Lucifer, the light bringer, the morning star, who according to some Christians was a divine creature, but was cast out of heaven for being rebellious towards God. And in that sense, he was the shadow side of God, who was divine, but banned for being unruly. In a human sense, he represents the side of us that we battle to be good or to do right, that we sometimes refuse to deal with, you guessed it, by indulging, resisting, getting attached to unhealthy things, all the things that this card usually symbolizes. But the devil sometimes reminds us that we have to come to terms with our shadow side in order to achieve enlightenment or see the light, which in Latin is called lux, light, from which the name Lucifer comes, morning light, which brings us back to the weapon that we see in this card. Now, since I brought up Hamilton earlier, I'll mention one thing that reminds me of this card, of the devil. And if you know the show, you'll know that at one point he's left alone and he's separated from his wife and children. And Alexander Hamilton, like the song says, someone under stress meets someone looking pretty, Miss Maria Reynolds, who gives him a tragic story about how her husband has been abusing her and she's all alone. And Alexander is tempted by her and her vulnerability, and he ends up having sex with her. The lyrics of the song describe the devil energy in a big way. Alexander sings, "That's when I began to pray, Lord, show me how to say no to this. I don't know how to say no to this, But my God, she looks so helpless. You get the picture. Now, I've gone on for a long time about the devil, but I thought it was necessary because I had to think long and hard about what the verb in this sentence might be. And I came up with a couple of options, contradictory but both relevant. Resist or indulge. So keep that in mind, and for now we'll move on to the King of Wands reversed. In the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, the King of Wands sits on his throne like the other kings against a bright sky. Faces left, and he holds a large wand with green leaves at the top of it. Both his throne and his cape are decorated. We see some lions and many salamanders in the pattern. The salamanders are circular, eating their own tail, which is a variation of the snake, which eats its own tail, which symbolizes the eternal march of life and death, the endless cycle of life that continues against all odds. Remember, too, that salamanders are said to be able to survive fire, which is the symbol of the suit of wands. They're said to be indestructible in the face of fire. In the modern Spellcaster's Tarot, the king is once again, like many of the other kings, on the throne made from a tree. And although the card is stylistically very different here, he's in a very fiery, autumnal-looking forest. He, too, is holding a wand, and the leaves here are orange rather than green. Now, the upright King of Wands is the epitome of wise energy in action, leadership, devotion to the people he represents, and of an ability to put good thought into action. The King of Wands is charismatic. He's exciting, generous, sexual, thrives on competition and diversity, and he's very receptive to different points of view. Now, reverse, the King of Wands can be prone to rage or narcissism, or to being out of control, to abusing power, being aggressive, temperamental, and can actually be very problematic as a leader. He has a bad attitude, and his negativity or destructiveness can spread like wildfire. He takes needless risks, not only with his own things, but with everybody else's too. Now, friends, do you see why to sit for a long time with this reading? As the subject, we have a collective that is powerful, but is having difficulty coming together. As the verb, we have resisting temptation or raw unruly power and dealing with a shadow or pure energy that may be harmful. And as the object, we have something similar, a sort of wrathful and predictable energy that is out of control, which, if you haven't guessed yet, is very reminiscent to me of this current quote-unquote president that we have, a narcissist who doesn't know how to control himself and who abuses his power on a daily basis. It also reminds me of COVID-19 itself, a raw power that cannot be stopped and that, like the devil, just spreads without knowing the harm that it's doing. Now, as I said at the beginning when I introduced this reading, the tarot doesn't always tell us what we want to hear. It just does what it does. And sometimes we have to work hard to get the answer to the question that we asked. So in the context of the request for something good, the demand for something good, here's what I would say we're being told this week. We have to work together, and we have to work even harder to reduce the power and the destruction of COVID-19. On a similar note, the cards might be telling us that even though things look shitty right now in the US, we have the power to defeat the political forces of darkness. We see a community that is struggling to overcome its attachment to aggression, to systemic violence, and oppression, to greed, but we can overcome it if we come together. And finally, on a more personal level, the cards could also be saying, you know what, take some time alone and indulge. Whatever you need to do to find relief or to get an adrenaline rush right now, just fucking do it. Enjoy yourself, switch off, do what you need to do. Just don't hurt anyone, including yourself. On a related but a more spiritual level, I think the cards are reminding us that if we face our demons, we can overcome them. The bottom line is, no matter what kind of fucked up combination of things we're dealing with, we're alive right now. And like Lin-Manuel Miranda's Alexander Hamilton, there are things that we can do and we must do to keep going for as long as we're alive. Well, that's all I have for this week's reading. I hope you got something out of it, and I'll share the cards we pulled today on Twitter and Instagram. My handle on both those platforms is @callmeriverrose, If you have questions, comments, suggestions, I welcome them, and you can email me at iamriverrose@gmail.com. And if you like what you've heard, I encourage you to leave me a rating and a review wherever you listen to this podcast. I'll see you next Monday. Be well, take care, and remember, to paraphrase Lin-Manuel Miranda, the fact that you're alive is a miracle. So look around at how lucky we are to be alive right now.